God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Yeah, we can check off from the political news. AFR's news department does a fantastic job at that. Really great. Such a blessing. Hunter Biden's going to change to a guilty plea. Well, that's interesting. I guess because he's going to be pardoned. I mean, there's payoffs, you know. When you bribe a guy like Biden to step down from running again using the 25th Amendment, Biden's demented, but he's got a mind that understands politics. He understands that those are the chips left on the table, or another cliche, these are the cards left in my hand. So it makes sense. Plead guilty. They're counting on Kamala to either win or to be installed, like she was installed as the nominee. So we've checked that political box. Check another. President Trump was in a town hall meeting with Sean Hannity because Kamala Harris wouldn't show up for that. President Trump did a good job. He and Sean are friends. I don't know Sean, by the way. I just can tell you he's a very kind man. He let me use his studio once in New York because he actually heard me when I was filling in for Rush Limbaugh, God rest the maha, announce that, man, I'm going to be trapped in New York. I'm not going to be able to get home. There was a big storm front that came in. Sean heard that remark, called in and said, "Hey, tell Todd I can use my studio." So kind. He didn't need to do that. I could have been downtown in a tiny little box, but I got to use his. So political box checked. There was a school shooting in Georgia. We and our family have to look at this in a different way. We're part of a group of families who have to look at every school shooting differently. I'll tell you why in a second. The FBI had the shooter on their list, on their radar, which is exactly what we thought would be the case, because so often it is the case. The shooter, and I'm not going to say names. All too often people want this notoriety, so I'm not going to provide it. And apparently there were threats the morning of the shooting. Nothing was done, it seems, but there were threats. A year ago, this person was also making threats. Put them on the FBI's radar. Nothing was done. You can go to the obvious case of Nicholas Cruz. Remember him in Florida? Nicholas Cruz had been visited some 40 times by law enforcement. He was the beneficiary of a program started by Eric Holder and Barack Hussein Obama. It was a program that incentivized schools to keep kids like Nicholas Cruz in school and out of the justice system. You remember that he went on to shoot and murder a whole series of children as a so-called school resource officer, coward, hiding behind a post, refusing to go upstairs to defend the least of these. We in our family have to look at this differently. Because I made one of the worst mistakes of my life with our daughter. In Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, we read Jesus say, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. I'm thinking of the lost sheep. Sometimes spiritually lost, of course. The Lord Jesus here speaking in an eternal sense about the kingdom of heaven, our permanent home with him, we hope. Some of us know we're saved. I'm thinking about the temporal lost sheep, this latest shooter. And I'm thinking about the wolves of pharma. The wolves in the pharmaceutical companies. Not everyone who works in pharma is a bad person. Most probably aren't. My sister works in pharma. She's a good person, albeit not a believer. We're working on it. God's working. When our daughter was consistently trying to kill herself, which will flat rattle some people, and we felt ultimately forced to put her in treatment, about 9 months into that, at the cost of $35,000 to $40,000 a month in cash, praise God, I had the resources. I'm not a rich man. That flat set us back, about $500,000. It became clear that she was going to have to be in there 13 months. So I gave into the pills. Now, I'd been on Prozac, and after 2 weeks on Prozac, I had decided to kill myself. I'm not saying I thought of it. I'm saying I reached a decision. I'm going to kill myself. I called my mom and told her, hey, hear me out here. My life's not going to get better. Here are all the factors that contribute to this. And for that reason, I've decided to kill myself. And I was so lost to pharma that I thought my mom was going to say, I'd like to argue with you, but you make too strong of a point. You're right. You should do it. She didn't do that. She called my mom and my dad, and they made a surprise trip to Salt Lake City and showed up at my radio studio the next day. We're here until you stop. My mom said something brilliant on that call. Brilliant. She said, is this a decision you have to make today? Do you have to hurry? How about if you make an appointment with yourself to do this in like a week? Just give yourself a week. Well, it didn't seem like a big deal. It's just a week. Brilliant. Praise God. When our daughter went on these pills, she initially was euphoric. All was better. Now, this is before I'd read the study that came out 2 years ago. You know that serotonin problem, the serotonin imbalance? Serotonin reuptake inhibitors, they cured that imbalance. Yeah, that's not a thing. We now understand that that study, like so many others, was a fraud. They don't know if it's a serotonin problem. But they know the pills work for them. Oh, not the patients necessarily. For some people, it appears to provide help. I mean, our daughter didn't have breakdowns anymore. She didn't have emotional outbursts because she didn't have emotions. Hard to have an emotional outburst when you don't feel a thing. Anything. When she came home and we realized how these pills had changed her, then we started to dig in. Our daughter forgot her childhood. By the way, the reason I'm mentioning this is not for our daughter. One third of Americans are on these drugs. One third. Lost sheep. You might be on them. I'm not judging you. I can't. I'm in a guilty party. I've been on Prozac and I put my daughter on four pharmaceuticals. Eventually, it started with one. It always does. The doctor, the psychiatrist who prescribed these to our daughter spoke to the girls in the treatment center, and I sat there and watched him say, many of you are going on meds. None of you should be on these for the rest of your life. This should be for a short period of time. And I believe he is a good man. I believe he loves kids. I believe he is an honest man, and I know as an honest man, he does not know how addictive these are. So why do we have to look at school shootings differently? Because there is a correlation between people who make the decision to go murder their classmates and psychotropic drugs. I didn't say it's causation. I said it's correlation. Jesus brings the lost sheep home. I guess he could take them pills. We have to look at school shootings differently because what's on the warning of many of these labels? The warning labels say on some of these pills, these antidepressants can cause depression and suicidal intent. Oh, and homicidal intent. Oh, they don't tell you that. Well, no, I mean, if they told you that, why would you put your kid on an antidepressant that can cause them to experience depression and suicidal intent? Isn't that why they're going on the pills, to not do those things? We have to look at these and wonder, did God save our child from school because of pharma? I mean, just as we came home, they installed the COVID lockdowns. Just as we came home. And so she didn't spend time in school. See, the homicidal intent, that happens. My wife is part of a support group of parents, and there's some doctors in the support group. The doctors have to be very, very, very careful in these support groups. Support groups exist to help parents get kids off of pharmaceuticals because pharmaceutical companies, in my judgment, have reformulated these pills to make them addictive. They are more addictive than fentanyl in many cases. That's hard to believe, and it's true. So these doctors in these support groups can say things like, you should read this article. Check out this link. This is not medical advice. I'm not giving you medical advice. Have you thought of this? Because all around America, there are men and women, it's usually the moms, who sit around hours a week and they take a nail file and they file tiny little bits, little shards off of tablets. Those shards fall down onto a jewelry scale that can measure the smallest little particles of gold. This case, it's poison that is measuring. And their kids then consume a tablet that is slightly smaller, by 1/100th of a milligram smaller than the one they took last week. The reason we have to look at this differently are stories like this. In the support group that my wife's part of, a woman told a story about her 12-year-old girl who had never been violent, had never so much as slapped a person, had never kicked a wall, had never thrown a thing. She'd been put on pharma at school. It was just ADHD meds. She had some attention deficit problems. And the people in the white coat said, this will help. It did. But then having been put on ADHD meds, she had developed some anxiety, trouble resting, anxiously shaking her legs, started to do a little bit of cutting. So they stepped in with some antidepressants just to balance things out. It's pharmaceutical company's equivalent of a speedball. Do you know what that is? It's cocaine and heroin. See, the heroin helps temper the cocaine. You get the lift, but not the edge. So the 12-year-old girl was then on two pharma drugs. And they noticed the changes in her. So they decided to quit the drugs. And I will tell you what happened next, so you understand why we look at these school shootings differently. We have to. We can go find the lost sheep in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we should, because they're all over the country, like this latest shooter. But we should also look at the wolves who are inviting the sheep out into the woods with promises of your best life now. Heaven on earth, just swallow the beautiful pills. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back on The Disciples View.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Imagine being in the Army and watching a presentation about extremism. Up pops a slide with the title Terrorist Groups, and under it are labels that identify the National Right to Life and anyone with a Choose Life license plate as an extremist. Mind you, this slide just followed the slide of a terrorist group, ISIS. This is not the first time we've seen such Army training slides. During the Obama administration, we discussed on my radio program other slides that identified evangelical Christianity, Catholicism, and Mormonism as different forms of religious extremism. Daniel Runyon is the senior counsel and chair of the Military Practice Group at First Liberty Institute. Her editorial documents what I just discussed and then goes on to explain that this incident at Fort Liberty was not a one-time error. When members of Congress denounced such activity in their letter, the Army response was the slides were not vetted and implied this was an exception. Danielle explains that the repetitive nature of these events in the Army over the past decade, as well as the woke ideology that has plagued our nation and has destroyed the careers of thousands of religious service members over the past 4 years, make it hard to believe this wasn't intentional. She mentions a briefing given to the Army personnel at Camp Shelby that identified the American Family Association as a hate group. At another briefing, the Defense Equal Opportunity Institute explained that it considered extreme leftist organizations to be a reliable source for training. You know, if the Army wonders why they're having trouble recruiting Christians to serve in the military, they might want to look at what they're teaching in these training sessions. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Hey friends, Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. Hurricane Helene has wreaked havoc in multiple states, and the damage and loss of life has been heartbreaking to see unfold. 8 Days of Hope deployed our mass feeding arm the morning after the hurricane had passed. Today, 8 Days of Hope is serving in multiple states, providing food, hot showers, laundry services, and helping families with their homes. Volunteers are tarping roofs, mucking out homes, and removing trees with chainsaws and utilizing bucket trucks. If you're 16 years of age or older and are drawn to serve these precious families, please go to 8daysofhope.com to learn on how you can volunteer. Please take a moment, read the FAQs. Remember, it's free and we provide the food and lodging. Please take a moment to pray for these families who, to no fault of their own, are in great need. Pray that the volunteers serving with 8 Days of Hope are a glimpse of hope, a glimpse of Jesus to those in need. Again, for more information on how you can support this outreach, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The latest school shooting in Georgia, we're talking about this from a perspective that all too many Americans share, but you will not know about this. So I felt called for you to know about this because we are to go seek the lost sheep as the Lord Jesus told us. We are to go after the lost sheep. There'll be more rejoicing in heaven that one sinner repented than 99 saints, as it were, who didn't need to repent entered heaven. He's speaking, of course, of the eternal kingdom, and I'm speaking here of a temporal kingdom, but it's not temporal because the actions we take here can affect forever, does affect forever our existence, whether with the Lord Jesus or not. So when talking about pharma and the correlation, I didn't say causation, correlation between people who decide to go to schools and murder their classmates and so often pharma. Specifically kids who are either mixing drugs or stepping off drugs. And I just gotten to a point talking about a support group in which my wife is a member, a support group of parents who help each other take kids off these brutally addictive, ineffective pills, pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed by pharma. Pushed like this. Our daughter, when she got out of treatment, we had to have a new psychiatrist oversee the meds. So we found one. Our daughter went in and met with her because the only person we could find is in Washington State. She got to meet with that doctor alone. On that day, that doctor said, oh, sure, let's put you on a fifth pill. You want some Adderall? Great. Here you go. I'll call in a prescription for you, plus I'll give you some samples. You can take now. My wife gets my daughter in the car. How was it? She gave me Adderall. Oh, a prescription? No, some. And a prescription. I love this stuff. Of course, we said, no, we're not going to put you on another pill. So my wife sits in this tiny little closet-sized bathroom, and she uses a nail file, and she shaves down these tablets 1/100th of a micron at a time. Because pharma won't provide the step-down kits. So we have to look at school shootings differently because the warning labels on these pills often say this can lead to suicidal intent or homicidal intent or depression. So I was just telling a story about a 12-year-old who's in the support group. She'd been put on ADHD meds at school because parents trusted the people in the white coats. This will help our daughter. And then when she was on the ADHD meds, hey, she developed anxiety. Huh, you put her on a stimulant that also can act as a depressant if you give kids enough, particularly boys. And then she developed anxiety, so you put her on an anti-anxiety med. Now, here's the crazy thing. Please understand this. Doctors simply can't keep track of all these interactions. I'll give you a case in point. Our daughter got quite ill. And she'd been on four pills. She was down to three. And she got quite ill with an infection. And my wife took her to the doctor, a good doctor. We eventually got away from that pill pusher in Washington State, a very good concierge medicine, no insurance doctor. Insurance companies love pharma. And the doctor said, okay, let's do this antibiotic. And my wife said, pause. That antibiotic has bad interactions with this so-called antidepressant. And the doctor said, oh, I hadn't heard that. She goes, oh, yeah. My wife emailed her the data, and the doctor looked at it and said, oh, Lord. Okay, let's choose another. She said to my wife, do you have a recommendation? My wife said, yeah, these are the three antibiotics that don't have those bad interactions. The doctor verified that. That's what we gave our daughter. We're the lucky ones. Other parents have to look at school shootings like this and say, thank God it's not our kid. This 12-year-old girl who was put on ADHD meds and then anti-anxiety meds to take the edge off like a speedball, cocaine and heroin. Her parents noticed these changes in her. She had no pleasure in life. Hey, why aren't you playing with your puppies? I don't like them. This temper. This girl who'd never been violent, ever. One day taking dishes, glass dishes, and throwing them against the wall because they were dirty. She was taking them out of the dishwasher and noticed these aren't washed. And threw them against the wall. So her parents, like many parents, intuited that, okay, God, these are these pills. We got to get her off these pills. They didn't know about the support group. Now, the doctor had told them, hey, if you come off these pills, you have to do it really slowly. That was the advice. So they did it really slowly. They went from two pills a day to half a pill of each, so a total of one pill. On day three, 1/3 of a pill each. On the evening of day three, the girl became enraged when her mother asked her, "Are you willing to help me take some food out of the car from the grocery store?" Instead, the girl got a knife, a sharp steak knife, and attempted to stab her mother. She chased the mother through the house into the bathroom. The mother locked the door and made the decision to call for help on her phone, but not to the police. Would you? Would you put that on a 911 call? My daughter's trying to murder me? She called her husband. And her husband rushed into the house, wrestled the knife away from the girl, tossed it across the room, took his daughter to the floor and held her while she screamed at the top of her lungs. 12. When she'd exhausted her screaming, he picked her up and he carried her upstairs to her room. And he said, "Honey, these are the pills." The girl looked down at her hand and her hand was bleeding. I said, "Dad, why is my hand bleeding?" "It was probably from the knife." "What knife?" "You had a knife. You tried to stab your mom." And the girl burst into tears. Mom, it's mom okay. The family who told the support group about this put pictures of their bathroom door up. 50 stab marks in that door. And the blood of their 12-year-old girl on that door. So they went right back to the 2 pills per day. Their daughter was numb, but she wasn't having homicidal intent. So they sought the support group. And they found it. And praise God, that child is off of pharma. She's 16. You know, she doesn't remember parts of her childhood. The same thing happened to our daughter. There are entire important moments of our child, of our daughter's childhood that she does not remember. And when she's come off pharma further and further and further, some other things have happened. While she was on the 4 or 5 pills, she lost the capacity to retain information from reading. And I mean, she could memorize entire portions of fictional books and repeat them. She was great at withdrawing information from books and then applying it. She was a great learner. That was muted, blunted, blocked. When she was down to 1 pill, one day we looked in the backyard, she was reading the Iliad. I said, "Well, you're reading the Iliad. Why?" She goes, "For fun." So praise God, this is happening with us too. God is lifting this. We have to look at school shootings differently, and so should this nation. It's not just pharma. Of course, we need to be looking at fatherless homes and the lost sheep. We need to be looking at dysfunctional homes and the lost sheep. In my high school, there was a young guy who slept in a coffin at home. You know, his parents had him sleep in a coffin. His grandparents owned a funeral home, and Chris wanted a coffin. So they gave him one. He slept in it. Yeah, he wedged the top open, at least, so that he didn't suffocate. But he slept in a coffin and was allowed to do it. What does that say to your kid? None of us at the time when he told us this, and we knew it, we saw it, it was real. None of us had the capacity to say, "Chris, this is satanic." We told our parents about it, and parents didn't believe it, or, "Oh, it's a funny joke." And the lost sheep, he went on and committed a double murder. The lost sheep. I know there's political news. I know. I wonder about this. Why is it hard to say to the medical community, "These are lost sheep. They don't need your pills. They need God's love. They need Jesus Christ." Well, of course, that can get you in trouble and all, but they need Jesus Christ. How about this? Let's go through some pragmatic things that aren't even particularly religious, except they come from God's common blessings. Let's go this way. How about this? Before you put a 12-year-old on antidepressants, how about this? They have to spend 8 hours in sunshine for 3 weeks. They have to do an hour a day of some form of exercise, even if it's just walking. They have to have their diet examined. How much sugar are you eating? how much actual nutrition you get. They have to be observed for the LIDS scale. That stands for loneliness, isolation, and depression. They have to find a way to be around a positive peer group, please not a support group. There's a reason for support groups. They can be helpful, but for teen kids, particularly teen girls, they'll end up having contests on who's the sickest, who's got the most pills they're on. I'm telling you, this is a factor. It really, really happens. It's a popularity contest. Doctors should have to do these things before pills are prescribed to kids. In other words, go experience the common blessing of sunshine. Using the body God gave you in the way it's intended, which is to be in his sunshine, to be walking, it is not good that man is alone. You have to find a positive peer group before we'll even consider the meds, which in all too many cases don't work anyway and are almost always brutally addictive. And we need to see these changes. You know what my antidepressant is? Because I'm given to depression. You know what it is? High doses of exercise, a Christian community of men who hold me in check, and massive amounts of caffeine. Yeah, caffeine, I get it. It's, well, it's not pharma. But I'll take that over pills any day. The lost sheep have been provided everything they need to not be lost. If you are ever in a circumstance where your kids, or you're told you or your grandkids are offered these pills, please go through those factors. Sunshine, exercise, proper diet, friendship, positive peer groups, if not friendships. And I get it. This is simplifying. Please know, I know. When our daughter was consistently trying to commit suicide, we'd have people say to us things like this. Have you tried getting her a hobby? Oh, wait, a hobby? And wait, we hadn't thought of that. No, we just like her locked up in a room. Guys, I understand it's a struggle. I have been there with a daughter who, when I say we need to get you out of your room, weeps. You know what I wish I'd done? I wish I had gathered my 12-year-old daughter in my arms and said, we're leaving. You're coming with me in the car. We're going to the lake cabin, and mom is going to be there in a couple of days. You're not taking your phone. We are going there. I will wake you up in the morning. I don't care if I go bankrupt. I'm taking you there. We're going to be in the sunshine. You're going to see elk and moose and fish, and your cousins are coming over, and your grandma's coming over, and I don't care how long it takes. We are going to have you in sunshine around a positive peer group. Maybe I can do radio from the cabin. Maybe we can figure out satellite internet. I wish I'd done it. Instead, I gave in to not the common blessings, not what God has said, that it's not good that man is alone. I gave in to clinicians. I get it. To our government. God allows you a position of authority, and you're not asking these questions? You are not requiring pharmaceutical companies to disclose how addictive these meds are? You're not asking the questions of how many of these shooters were on these psychotropics? You're not examining the fact that at least a third of Americans are on these things? And by the way, they're made in China almost completely. You want to see a national catastrophe from a national security basis? If, God forbid, we're in a war with China, you know what their first step might be? Hey, you know what? We're not going to ship you Adderall anymore. We're not going to ship you antidepressants anymore. Let's go after the lost sheep now in the way Jesus would have us do it, which is not with a packet of pills. It's by letting God's face shine through us, going to the lost sheep. Man, I see you're angry and lonely. I see there's no father in your home. I can't be your dad, but buddy, can I take you bowling? Can I take you camping? We're called to do this, and I believe we'll answer for not doing it. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View.
liberals are determined to fight any legislation that protects election integrity. That's why the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act has been added to a continuing resolution spending bill. The SAVE Act will make sure only American citizens can vote. States will have to remove non-citizens from their lists of voters. Please take time today to urge your representative to support the addition of the SAVE Act to any continuing resolution bill. Time is of the essence, so visit AFA.net today.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare. And that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
You're starting as early as you can, and that starts with your child before they're even verbal.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Janelle Breitenstein.
You know, you might teach them to do, at least when I was a young mom, baby signs were a thing. So we teach them to say thank you, you know, to start cultivating gratitude in your child's heart before they can even say thank you, you know. And so we're praying with our kids before that. Or, you know, you young moms who are not getting any sleep, or you young dads who aren't getting any sleep, you're laying the foundation for God's love by just responding to the cries of your child, keeping them in clean diapers, building attachment with them. Those are all foundational. So at each and every age, there's a different appropriate life skills that we're teaching our kids so that they can see God's face and appreciate Him and follow Him and love Him with their lives.
You can hear more ways to encourage your child's understanding and belief in God at FamilyMinute.org.
Thanks for listening to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. I am probably going to get emails from people asking to be linked up with the support group that my wife's in to help kids get off pharma. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com, and I will ask my wife to provide you that information, and I'll send it to you guys. We'll do that. We'll make that happen. We'll get to the Tower Babbling. As I said, there's a pastor, my podcast producer, Nayana, has read a bunch of his books. I'm not familiar with his work, so this is a little unfair. I saw this clip, and it really concerns me. Now, again, it's a clip. It isn't representative of the man's work, and no, I've not taken, is it Matthew 28, where I'm supposed to reach out to him in person before I criticize? Please forgive me. Let's just make this commentary, maybe not criticism. Because my producer, Nayana, is a very Christian woman, worship leader, great, great observer of the Lord, walks with the Lord, abides. So I take her at a word that this is a good man. His name is David Platt. And in this piece is to me, it seems like he's purposely conflating refugees and illegal immigrants.
It's a problem when Christians in the United States are the most resistant to refugees in our communities. Like, we believe Acts chapter 17, God orchestrates the movement of peoples among the nations that they might be found by Him. And the way God has put in so many communities where we live, people from other places in the world, even from places specifically in the world that have little to no access to the gospel, where it's hard to get to those places. God's brought people from those places to our doorsteps, right outside where we live and where we work. So let's be intentional to love them with the love of Christ, to help them amidst all the challenges they're walking through, just as a picture of doing justice and loving mercy, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And as we do that, let's share the greatest news in the world with people from the nations that God has brought to our neighborhood.
Amen, amen, and amen, and amen. I'm treating people that way. Clearly, I have the advantage of seeing the video in that place, and clearly, he loves Jesus. It's at least clear to me. My only request is for pastors, please recognize how Satan is conflating words and meanings to make you appear untrustworthy. Please recognize this. I don't know that I've ever met a Christian, and I live in a pretty conservative area, where there's a lot of people who worship the American Jesus, the Jesus who does trust in guns and armies. Okay, pretty predisposed to say no refugees, who don't. Never heard it. I know people like this exist. I know there are parts of North Idaho I can go to. I don't, but I know where they're at, where there's still white supremacists. I know where they're at. It is not refugees that I think that most Christians have a challenge with. It's this. It's watching our country being collapsed. Directly against Romans 13, our leaders, so-called, are supposed to follow our laws. After all, we have in this country the Constitution. It's not the Bible. I believe it was inspired by the Bible. I think the men who wrote it were inspired by God, not in the way of the Bible. It's not perfect. It's not inerrant. It's not God's word. It's men who I think were informed by their faith at the very least. And that document makes clear, inspired by God, you don't lord your power over others. Laws are to be equally applied. So I think a good number of Americans, Christians among them, look and say, wait a minute. We have people born and raised in California who have to flee the state as economic refugees because they can't afford the property tax any longer. Meanwhile, illegal immigrants are being given from taxpayers, taken by force, $150,000. To buy a house. Other illegal immigrants are being given $10,000 to move into a state, $2,200 a month to stay there. That's not a refugee. That is an economic parasite. The person's not a parasite. They're made by God in God's image. God loves them, but it's parasitic behavior. Please, pastors, if you're going to speak of issues that are political, don't let Satan make you untrustworthy, because I will tell you, for a large number of conservatives, they'll hear that statement and they'll say about David Platt, who I think loves the Lord, they're going to say, oh, he doesn't even get it. He doesn't even know. It's not refugees people are concerned about. It's illegal immigration and the change in our votings and how our electoral college is being polluted. Please remember that Satan, he tried to game the Lord Jesus using the word of God. He tried to game the word with the word. I didn't say that he isn't arrogant. He is. But he's also had years to practice, years, forever, to practice the craft of lying with nice-sounding words, posing as an angel of light. So I believe David Platt loves the Lord. I believe he loves refugees. He's absolutely right. Meet them with a smile and a handshake and a hug. Let God's face shine through us. Let us remember that we, in fact, are sojourners here. This isn't even our home. We're visitors. We belong in God's kingdom forever in the new heaven and the new earth. Let us keep that in mind. Let's also ask that people follow the laws of our countries and pastors recognize that that's not being done. That's all I ask, please. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called. Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Three sound bites in The Tower of Babbling, almost always three sound bites. A pro-Trump PAC. In fact, I believe this is President Trump's official campaign. Anyway, they made an effective ad of Kamala Harris babbling about the economy and Bidenomics.
Everyday prices are too high. Food, rent, gas, back to school clothes.
That is called Bidenomics.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today. Brown beef is up almost 50%. There's not much left at the end of the month.
Bidenomics is working.
The price of housing has gone up. It feels so hard to just be able to get ahead.
And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
That's well done. It's honest, too. It's a side-by-side comparison. I mean, yeah, okay, so you're cherry-picking some quotes. But the data's right there. Now, I know we're supposed to have moved on from this. I know I heard people say, wait, conservatives, don't play this game of focusing on Kamala Harris code shifting. But I'm going to, for a reason. Here's Kamala Harris using her painfully fake Detroit girl accent.
You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time. Because what we know, let's just get through the next 64 days. Come on.
The reason this matters to me is because pandering always matters to me. Because it says something about what she thinks of Detroit voters. They're inarticulate. They are Ebonics driven. It is racism. It's classism. And yet she's for the people. Pandering really bothers me. You know what that is to me? In a way, it's rhetorical, intellectual stripping. I really am sad for women who've fallen into stripping to make money. Really sad. I said one day to a friend, it's emotional manipulation of men and it's economic manipulation of women. He said, what do you mean emotional manipulation? I said, brother, it's all an illusion. Those women up there don't care for you. How could they? You're there exploiting them. It's an illusion. Oh, she's looking at me. She must be interested in money. And when Kamala Harris does this to voters, it's the same estimation, the same level of caring. It really communicates something about this woman who is not, in fact, the nominee. She's not. She's been placed there. She seized power. But let's use accurate language. She is someone who seized power. Not yet presidential. God forbid it become that, in my mind. But for now, she gets to run the DNC. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Venezuelan gangs have taken over parts of Aurora, Colorado. They've assaulted and blackmailed people in Denver. Yet the mayor of Denver had said, there's something more dangerous than armed criminal gangs seizing control of entire apartment buildings and malls.
We are aware of it. We have overt and covert operations going every day to intervene. And where we know there are risks, we're going to be aggressive about making arrests, about pressing charges, and if needing, deporting folks. But I think the much bigger risk is that you'll have a perception that all of the newcomers in the city are dangerous and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Well, no, I don't think anyone's saying all, quote, newcomers are dangerous. I've never heard that. But no, in fact, it's not more dangerous for people to think that illegal immigrants who are seizing apartment buildings are dangerous than the seizing of apartment buildings by illegal immigrants or by anyone else. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Well, I'm sick and tired of smart guys.
On A Disciple's View.
An email from Doug. Doug writes, from Bozeman, Montana. Todd, I listened to AFR online. I used to live in Florida. Became addicted to the network back then. Was thrilled when you joined it. Got a question for you. I noticed that you do not cover and have not mentioned the Tim Pool, Dave Rubin, Benny Johnson incident and Tenet Media. I have to believe that this is because you're afraid to touch on the topic and offending friends. If not, can you explain why? Yeah, Doug, appreciate the note. Thanks for listening to AFR. I hope you're a monthly donor, by the way. You love it that much. You can be a monthly donor at AFR.net. That's how we get to do things like this. If you don't know, the accusations are that Dave Rubin, a guy named Benny Johnson, who's less known than Tim Pool. Tim has a very successful, wildly successful video podcast. Benny's is doing much better. It's growing. And Dave Rubin, same-sex attracted man. He'd been on MSNBC. He used to be a liberal. Now he's a conservative, or so he says. And maybe he is. I don't know any of these guys. I've met Benny and talked to him for maybe 5 minutes. I've never met Dave, and I've never met Tim Pool. I've never seen a Tim Pool program. I've seen some of Benny's work, and I'm very familiar with Dave's work. So the reason I've not covered it is for those reasons. I don't know these guys. The DOJ is making the charge that they took money from Russia to spread Russian propaganda. So I'm reading the charging papers, by the way. The charging papers seem to indicate that the owners of the network, Tenet Media, actually, it seems to indicate they actually did mislead Benny and the other hosts about the sources of their funding. And I would just say this. If you work at a network and they've told you what to say, you need to say that. Because the contention here is that Dave and Benny and Tim had been told, we're going to be a pro-Russia network. So you need to come out and hammer the desk that Ukraine is an enemy of the American people. That's the contention. I would just say this. If you work in media and been told to say things like that, to take a position like that, you must disclose it. I mean, I'll make full disclosure here. Ready? We have one audience member we seek to please. God Almighty. It was made very, very clear to me, to the Wildman family. Understand that we are biblically strict. We speak the gospel simply. We put God at the center of our work. Our moral clause is the Bible. Those are our moral clauses. Right there in the Bible, the Word of God. Never have I been told a position to take on this program. Ever. There are things we don't say here because of the nature of the network. We don't endorse candidates. We can't and we don't. We don't violate the Word of God. We do our very, very, very best to not do that. But I can tell you this. There are people in conservative media right now who are being told the position they will take. I know it happened in 2020. I know very famous conservative hosts who were told, you will be pro-Trump or you will not have a show. You owe your audience the truth. And here I'm proud to say, the truth is, it's the Word of God on which we focus. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Until God gives us the permission to speak again together, may His peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.